glad to be here this morning, not because I'm here in this spot. I really expected to be able to come this morning and listen. But Brother Sim didn't think that was the greatest idea. So we're glad to share as well. From the Word of God, it's a very special service this morning in the fact that there is souls that are being added to the church, and a very special service this morning in the fact that it is communion for you folks here. Tiffany, being the fourth grandchild of ours, being baptized, it's our goal to try to be at the baptismal services of each of our grandchildren. The Lord knows whether He'll grant us that or not. But we rejoice this morning that there are more added to the church. I appreciate our brother's thoughts this morning on baptism, and I want to center our thoughts around communion in remembering what our Lord has done for him, for us. I want to go to the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 5, there's just a few verses I want to read and draw our thoughts from that this morning. We're going to be reading at verse 12 to 16. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he departed, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We have here Luke, the physician, tells us this man was full of leprosy. It was probably the leprosy that of, like Numbers 12, 13 talks about. It was the form of leprosy, no doubt, that the Bible refers to when it describes the leper as being at like one as dead. I would suppose that that is the type of leprosy that was here in the Gospel of Luke, where this man came to Jesus for healing. And if you want a title for the message this morning, I want you to word it something like this: the cleansing power of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus. And I believe this morning, and I'm talking to a group of people that have applied the blood of Jesus to your heart, on the doorpost of your heart and on the lintel of your heart, that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I believe this man's disease was in advanced stages, and he was in a desperate need, and he realized that he could do nothing on his own to heal himself of this leprosy. He says, if you are willing, as he approached Jesus on his knees before him begging, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You take notice, he didn't ask for healing, but he asked for cleansing as he came to Jesus. And Jesus, in astonishment to all the Jewish people, reached out and touched this man to heal him. And rather than Jesus becoming defiled, the man became instantly clean. And praise God this morning for that. For that cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. This miracle shows us the cleansing power of Jesus, not only over leprosy, but also over sin. We are all here this morning. We have all been born with that sinful nature. We all were back there in sin. And there's nothing that we could do for ourselves that could deliver us from this life of sin. Jesus, this is the great news this morning, dear friends, that Jesus cleanses every sinner that comes to him in true repentance, on their knees. So this morning, whether we've done anything
that was real bad or not. We all need the Savior. We all need the Savior. First part of this message, I want to consider, first of all, sinners must recognize their desperate situation before a holy God, and that we can do nothing to cleanse ourselves of this sin, to have victory over sin. You know, Jesus cleanses us from sin, but he also gives us power to live above sin. As we appeal to Jesus for cleansing, as this leper did, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I believe that the first step in this process is that a sinner must recognize, as I mentioned, our desperate situation. This leper knew this was his only hope. And our only hope this morning, dear friends, is in Jesus. In the saving power of the blood of Jesus. You know, the leper had, you go back to the Old Testament, he had to live separately from the family. He had to live separately from his friends. He could never feel that warm touch of family. He was put out. Such isolation caused a breakdown in relationships. Sin breaks down relationships. Sin breaks down and separates us from a holy God. Separates us from God himself. Sin causes a strain and often a complete rupture of human relationships. Husbands and wives today sometimes are who once felt deeply in close together and have allowed sin to separate them, no longer feel that relationship of closeness. Rather than replace us with bitterness and alienates us because of sin. Sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys marriage relationships when that is the case. Sin destroys relationships between parents and children. Sin causes a distance in point number two. Sin causes a distance and breakdown of relationship. Thirdly, sin results in loneliness for the sinner because you are separated from God and the church. It creates a loneliness. Can you imagine the loneliness that must have engulfed the leprous men in the Old Testament who were put out of the camp? Can you imagine what it was to be separated from their families? Aaron's wife Miriam had to be separated for a while because of leprosy. Living apart from those they love. As soon as sin entered the human race, there was that separation. There was that separation. Adam and Eve immediately knew that they were naked. They immediately knew what happened. And then to think they could hide from God. I'm here to tell you this morning, nothing is hidden from God. Sin isolates us from each other and from God. It results in loneliness. Rejoice this morning that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those of you who have. If you're here this morning, you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. May the Spirit of God continue to work in your life and bring conviction that you will want this relationship and be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. In the fourth place, sin grows progressively worse, ending in spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. Sin will cost you far more than what you want to pay. Sin will take you farther than what you want to go. Further away from God. What you are about to partake of this morning is for those of you who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Those of you who have applied the blood of Jesus to your heart, to the doorposts of your heart and to the lintel of your heart. This service is for you.
If you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, don't drink of that cup. Don't take of that bread and bring damnation to your own soul, but rather take care of the sin problem. Take care of the sin problem. Jesus desires that each one of us would be living in victory. Just as leprosy grows progressively worse until the leper dies, so with sin, if it is not cleansed by the blood of Jesus, it will take you to your grave, to an endless eternity separated from Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. Just as a sinner faces physical death, what the Bible calls the second death, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Dear ones, this morning in the fifth place, sin has no human cure. There is no human cure for sin apart from the blood of Jesus. This leper had no hope for a cure. No hope at all. There is no hope for the sinner apart from the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to his heart. Our Lord Jesus paid the price. He went to the cross for you and I. The fact that he didn't come yet is the very fact of extension of his mercy and his love for mankind. And we believe today, as we see the signs of the time, that the handwriting is on the wall, that Jesus is soon coming, where we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb with him when the church is raptured out, when his children are taken home to meet the Lord in the air, there to be with him forevermore. There is no human cure for sin. We need to rivet that in our minds. You can make resolutions, you can make promises to change, but you will not without the power of Jesus this morning. Some of the wisdom of the world may help you learn to get along better with others. It may help you to control your temper, but apart from Jesus Christ and the book of life, there'll be no cure. We need Jesus in our hearts to make the difference. You can deny your guilt. You can tell yourself that it isn't there. But it is there. It is there. There is no human way to remove it. And this leper in this scripture shows us that the only hope for us is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only hope this morning. Second part of the message, sinners must appeal to Jesus for cleansing. But this man, full of leprosy, I can imagine the crowd was parting as he came through to Jesus. I can imagine the Jewish people were watching what's going to happen now. And Jesus reached out and touched him with a hand of healing. A hand of healing. That's our Lord Jesus. He can heal you this morning. He paid the price. And as you go through the communion service this morning and you think about the price that was paid for you and I on Calvary. He boldly came near to Jesus and cried out in faith, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The faith that stood out there. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ this morning that he can heal you and he can take care of all the sin sick problems in your life? That's the God we serve this morning. That's the God we serve. If you are willing. The man wasn't even questioning the Lord's compassion, but rather he was submitting to his sovereignty. Since clearly, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all would be saved. And there would be room enough in heaven for everybody in society today. But there are many who are rejecting him and turning their backs on him. He was not demanding healing, but was coming submissively in faith.
That, Lord, you can heal me. You are able. And Jesus reached out and touched, and immediately the healing power went through him.
That's how it is when we come to Jesus with our sin-sick souls.
He reaches out and heals us. And he gives you power to live above sin. But you know the tempter is still there. And Satan is not going to be satisfied with you two young sisters who joined the church, who have decided some months ago to serve the Lord and to give your heart to him. Satan is not satisfied with that. And he will try. He will try. But we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
He realized that the Lord could justly condemn him, but he did not. He recognized his faith. This leper this morning stands as a great example of how sinners can and should appeal to Jesus for cleansing from their sins. We should come in faith that he is able to cleanse us. We know that he is willing because he tells us that in the scriptures. Yes, Jesus calls us, but he is not willing that any should perish. So he is calling each and every one to come and experience this cleansing power of the blood of Jesus.
So we know that he is willing. The one who comes, he says, I will not cast out in John 6:37. We realize this morning the Lord could justly condemn us for our sins. We didn't deserve this, but he was willing that none of us would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second part of the message, Jesus willingly grants complete cleansing and his commands, he commands obedience to his word. With the Lord saving us brings responsibility and accountability in our lives to walk in obedience to the word of God and allow the Spirit of God to direct our lives. We see Jesus' compassion in this miracle for this miserable man, both in his physical touch and his kind words of healing. He says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Jesus is willing for anyone to come to him to experience the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is willing. Praise God for such deliverance this morning. And we can gather together like this to remember the price that Jesus paid. You know, Jesus could have spoke the words and the man would have been healed. But Jesus chose to reach out and to touch him. I can imagine the Jewish people wonder what's going to happen next. What's going to happen to Jesus? He touched this leprous man. There was tremendous healing that went through this man's body. There's tremendous healing that comes to our souls, our sin-sick souls, as Jesus heals us and cleanses us from all sin. Any ordinary man that would have reached out and touched the leprosy would have been defiled. But rather than being defiled, Jesus imparted complete, instant cleansing to this man. And we invite Jesus into our heart, and I can't tell you the exact date of my new birth experience, but I can tell you the feeling that flooded my soul, and I can tell you the place where I stood. In a small upper prayer room in the Lancaster Conference in the Red Run Mennonite Church. Probably don't know where it's at, but I remember the spot. And I remember the feeling that flooded my soul under the evangelistic services of Jesse Nuance Wonder. So Jesus grants complete cleansing to every sinner who appeals to him in faith. You know, the leper, as he came, I'm sure didn't get dressed up and then try to clean himself up. Put on the finest clothes to come and meet Jesus, but he came just as he was. That's how Jesus wants us to come this morning, just as we are.
Yes.
And he'll clean us up. And then we walk in a life of obedience to the word of God. We become instructed in the Word of God. And I know that these you have come through a time of instruction. But life is full of instruction. Life is full of teaching. Life is full of lessons. The Spirit of God will teach you into all truth. Not new truth, but all truth. The truth has been settled many years ago. He came to Jesus with all the uglinesses of his disease and appealed for cleansing. And Jesus responded by instantly and permanently cleansing him from every trace of that disease. Come to Jesus just as you are. And then we can experience times like this when we gather together as a church and we remember. Jesus said that we are to do these things in remembrance of him, what he has done for us. Come to Jesus just as you are. He grants it freely based on his grace. Not on anything in the sinner, but nothing we can do to save ourselves, but to simply surrender our all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow him to be Lord of our life. You know, many people want Jesus to be their Savior, but then they stop short. They don't want Jesus to be Lord of their life. But as Jesus lives within your heart, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he will give you victory if you listen to the voice of his Spirit. The cleansing of Jesus, the cleansing that Jesus offers is not just a cosmetic cleansing. It's not just on the outside, but it's on the inside as well. That produces something on the outside. It cleanses a defiled conscience. The inner man, just as this leper, was instantly and totally healed. As we trust in Jesus, in Christ, we can continue to walk in progressive sanctification. I picture this morning the platform of repentance when you accepted Jesus as a springboard as we walk in progressive sanctification from the platform of repentance to glory. This morning, as we continue to think about the cleansing power of Jesus, even though you are full of leprosy, of sin, if you are this morning, come to Jesus and appeal to him for cleansing, and he will freely, instantly grant it. There is no sin this morning that is too great for God to forgive. This morning, I trust that I'm looking into the major part of this audience this morning as people who have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. There is no sin that is too great for God to pardon. Jesus commands complete obedience from every sinner who appeals to him by faith. He ordered his cleansed leper. And I have to think about that this morning. He says, don't tell anyone, but go directly to the priest. He wanted him to follow what was required of leprosy, to go to the priest and go through the process of cleansing. Now this man, after he presented himself to the priest, he spread it abroad. Was he walking in disobedience or not? Well, I believe that Jesus' point here was, I don't find anywhere that Jesus condemned him for doing this. But I believe that he wanted him to understand something first, to follow the process on the outward cleansing. He had already been cleansed inwardly. But he spread it abroad, it says. In verse 14 of the text to which we read, he says, go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded for a testimony to them. But that news spread abroad. You could go to Mark chapter 1, verse 45 also speaks of it. He spread the news abroad, and the fame went abroad. To you this morning, dear sisters, when you became a Christian, and we often ask new converts that, what are you planning to do with it now? We encourage them to call grandparents. We encourage them to call and tell their friends at school that something is different. Something has changed. And I believe that Jesus wants us to spread it abroad. And probably the intent of Jesus' command was
not for the man to be forever silent, but about his healing, but rather that he first go and present himself to the priest. I'm going to just read verse 20 here yet, in light of all this that I'm in Luke chapter 5. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. That's Jesus, who has the power to forgive sins. The cleansed leper, who now showed an evidence of being cleansed. This morning, dear ones, if we are living as cleansed, as washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is going to be something shining forth from our life. Sisters, this morning, and throughout, as you were being instructed, there's something different in your lives. We're going to show forth the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians talks about. As we think of the Jesus commands complete obedience to every sinner, I want to think of a number of points in relation to that. Obedience will be compromised if we act on the basis of our feelings. Our salvation this morning is based on facts, not our feelings. Amen. It is based on the facts of the Word of God. The devil is going to tempt you with your feelings. He will tempt all of us with our feelings sometimes, but our salvation this morning is based on the facts of the Word of God, the Word of life. No doubt the man did not understand why Jesus would command him to be silent, but it was kind of a strange command to have a situation where a man was cleansed of so much. We have been cleansed of a life of sin. So much. And I don't believe God expects us to be quiet about it, but to tell others. And I believe that every one of us need to be more faithful in that, in telling others of the great healing that took place in our hearts. Try to keep moving here. I realized this morning that we live in a feeling-oriented culture. But if you live your Christian life on the basis of feelings, you're going to have a roller coaster ride. You're going to be up and down. How then can we live? Number two, obedience will be complete if we act on the basis of God's word in the spirit of prayer, in the power of his Holy Spirit in prayer. Jesus based his command to this man on what Moses commanded. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, there was a specific, elaborate process of cleansing which the leper was to follow. And I believe Jesus expected him after that to go and tell others. Even when we do not understand the reasons behind God's commands, as we grow and mature in our life as young people, even though we don't understand everything, remember that God commands obedience. As we grow in maturity in our Christian life, as we grow and understand the scriptures better, you know, it says that Jesus went apart. And I want to encourage that for each one of us this morning, that there are times we have to go apart and rest a while. There are times we have to go apart, and because the fame went abroad and Jesus had to just step apart for a while. There are times we need those quiet moments, those times with God, every one of us, as we think about what Jesus done for us. The Lord Jesus this morning is our example of complete obedience. To keep his focus in the face of mounting popularity and increased demands on his time. And there were many times in the New Testament, as you look over the life of Christ, that he slipped away for a while into a desert place, into a quiet place where he communed with his Father in heaven. As Jesus had to make time for that, we must also. And let me tell you this, it doesn't happen accidentally. It don't happen automatically. But we need to make time. Young people, this morning, all of us, we need to make time to step aside and commune with God. And think about, as you meditate this morning, on what Jesus done on Calvary, as you go through the motions of, as you go through the taking of the cup and the bread, meditate on what God has done. In the face of the busy life schedules and many responsibilities, we all wrestle with it. Even grandpas and grandmas wrestle with it. But if you have experienced Jesus' miraculous cleansing this morning from your sin, from a life of sin, then he calls you to a life of total obedience, to a life of holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy, in 1 Peter. He calls you to a total commitment to his cause. And the devil will want to crowd that out. To be obedient, you must make time to get alone with him and his word. And I trust you spend time this week thinking about the service this morning, thinking about meditating on what Christ has done for you. To be obedient, you must make that time to commune with him. That is to each and every one of us. I don't care how old we are, how young we are. That is to each and every one of us who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And in conclusion this morning, by nature, we have all been sinners, and we all needed the saving power of Jesus Christ. None of us could save ourselves. None of us could cleanse us from our own sins. Christians, we must this morning rely on the power of Jesus Christ to remain separated, to remain free from sin. Satan's temptations are real this morning. They're real out there in society today. We must put forth effort. He calls us to complete obedience to his word. Jesus cleanses every sinner who appeals to him. And as you walk down the street and you see sinners, see them as a candidate for Jesus Christ. But they will finally have to make the decision. But can you help them? There are many cries for help. I just got another phone call last night of another young man in not far from Michigan that is needing help. There are people out there who need help. They need Jesus, just like you and I did. They need Jesus. Jesus cleanses every sinner who comes to him, and that's a wonderful thought as we think about that. He calls us to a life of cleanliness. I'm going to leave off at that. I know you're looking forward to taking part in communion, and may God bless you as we continue to serve him. And my encouragement to you young girls who have just accepted the Lord a number of months ago and have been baptized into the church, read your Bibles. And I encourage all of us to do that. Be obedient to the word of God. Ask questions if you're not sure. May God help us as we walk together. May God bless you.